Okay, eight ten, we can get ready for puja. So tonight, who is going to light the candle and incense? Yeah. Oh, Jess. Okay, you help to light the candle. Yeah. No, why not? No, light the thing. Let her light the candle. Yeah. Christina and her both light. Oh, is it? Oh, okay. Sadu. Christina can just light the candle. Have to light the candle and the incense. Okay, the rest of us can stand. Get ready for puja. Okay, let's start with the tray. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Okay, you all can be seated. Then compose your mind, develop the faith, sadha, virya, then we shall commence the puja. อรหังสัมมาสัมพุทโธภะคะวะพุทธังภะคะวันตังอภิวาเทมิสวากาโตภะคะวะตาธัมโมธัมมังนะมัสสามิสุปัตติปันโนภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆสังฆังนะมามิYou can be seated. Then turn to page 1 with your comments there, chanting. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa.Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Buddhang Saranang Gacchami Dhammang Saranang GacchamiสังฆังสรณังกัจฉามิทุติยัมปิพุทธังสรณังกัจฉามิทุติยัมปิธัมมังสรณังกัจฉามิทุติยัมปิสังฆังสรณังกัจฉามิตติยัมปิพุทธังสรณังกัจฉามิตติยัมปิธัมมังสรณังกัจฉามิตติยัมปิสังฆังสรณังกัจฉามิปาณาติปาตาเวรมณีสิกขาปะทังสมาทิยามิอาทินาทานาเวรมณีสิกขาปะทังสมาทิยามิกามิสุมิจฉาจาราวิรมณีสิกขาปะทังสมาทิยามิมุสาวาทาวิรมณีสิกขาปะทังสมาทิยามิสุราเมรยามัจจาปะมาทฐานะวิรมณีสิกขาปะทังสมาทิยามิOkay, now we will chant the Padipa Puja offering of light. Ganna Sara Paditena Dipena Tamadang Sina Tiloka Sipang Sambudang Pujayami Tamonodang Ganda Sambara Yutena Dupena Hang Sugang HinaPujaye pujani yang tang Puja bhajana mutamang Vanna ganda guno petang Etang kusuma santatin Pujayami munindasa Siripada sarorohe Pujemi butang kusume nanenaปุณณะนามเตนะเชโหตุโมคังปุพังมิลายติยัตตาอิดังเมกายโยตตายติวินาสบาวังอาดิวาเสตุโนบันเตปานิยังปริกาปิตังอนุกัมปังอุปาทายะปาติกันหาตุมุตตมังอาดิวาเสทุโนบันเตปาเลปริกาปิตังอนุคัมปังอุปาทายะ patigan hatu mutemang adi vase tu no bante bojanang parika pitang anu kampang upadaya patigan hatu mutemang. Okay, now we will make our puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this puja offering. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind, to help arise the needed clarity and understanding, to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fire of all defilement within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to develop the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Making of overall aspirations. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers, sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the conditions and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Let us pay respect to Triple Gem. Buddhang pujemi. Dhammang pujemi. Sanghang pujemi. Okay, you can visit that. Okay. Tonight, no new people, huh? So we have more time for meditation. Good. You can have about 40 minutes to meditate. Okay, we off the light. Then you can start your meditation straight away. Hmm? For those who still need to train your mind, you do it. For those who already have the spiritual faculty, you just relax and wear silent and just meditate. The silent mind in awareness is very important. When you meditate, just relax, silent and aware. Don't try to know. The understanding will come. At the same time, when you do that, you actually recuperate. Because when you completely silent your mind, your nature take over. And it will help you to recover. It like recuperate your tired body. Then whatever you have done over the day, let's say you have used your six sandal, overuse it in your daily life, and because you need to work, you have duties, you have responsibility, your mindfulness are still not that stable in the daily life. So most of the time, you engage in the arising of sankhara or thought process. So all this will continue to have an effect on you. So when you come here to meditate, it's a good time to relax, silent, and let it recuperate. Then whatever sankhara or clinging, attachment, or grasping, the subtle one, all these thoughts, they will still arise. But when you silent your mind, you can see them arising, passing away, then slowing down, slowing down. And because you are silent, relaxed, and just aware, it will finally return to its original state of inner peace, inner awareness, and inner stillness. The sankhara will lose their momentum, because now when you silent, relax, and aware, you don't cling, you don't hold, you don't give meaning. So they lose its power. So it will slowly, slowly dissipate. That thought energy will dissipate. That's why you return to silent. Then you will develop sati, awareness. Then for those who still need to do the mind sweeping method, you can do it. Then when you want to do metta, you can also do it. But you can develop some skillful means. First, before you start your meditation, you can recall to mind all of the great loving kindness, great compassion, and great loving kindness of Lord Buddha, Guanyin Bodhisattva. When you fill your heart with all this great loving kindness and great compassion of Lord Buddha, you will feel very calm, very peaceful, and your faith become very different. Then from there you relax, silent, and meditate. You need to do the recollection of the nine great virtues of the Buddha, you can. Or if you are familiar with some skillful means like Buddha or what, you can use them, it's up to you. Whatever method, technique, or skillful means that can help you train this mind, decondition this heedless mind so that it can become peaceful, calm, use it. Then after that, silence everything, stabilize it. Then meditate. Okay, I'll leave it to you to meditate. After about 30 or minutes, I will ring the bell. Okay. For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who have now, slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. And this is the mind state that you need to develop to help you to move into the daily mindfulness cultivation. The daily mindfulness, born of the trained mind with the spiritual faculty in Siddha, in Sati, is very important. When your mind is already trained, it is all the way, all the time, peaceful, quiet, silent, and aware within most of the time. So this is the silent mind, this is the meditative mind that can develop the insight, the awakening. And when you are in the form of meditation, you just silent, relax, aware, and maintain that awareness to understand what is going on within your own form of mind. To witness all the essential Dhamma that the Buddha has taught us. Then through all this understanding, the wisdom will arise. Then as you develop this stability of silence in the form of meditation, when you come out of it, you can move it into the daily life. The daily life is more difficult to do because when you are engaged with the world during daily life, your senses are fully operational. All of your senses, your seeing consciousness, hearing consciousness, smell, taste, tactile, thought process, and feeling, they are all fully engaged. And to maintain heedfulness or mindfulness under such circumstances will be a lot more difficult unless you have trained your mind, unless you have developed the spiritual faculty, unless your sati is very stable. That's why the form of meditation is very useful to stabilize the sati, to train this mind so that it's more and more heedful, less and less heedless. Then through all this understanding, as you go into the daily life, you will start to understand many, many more things of the essential Dhamma within life, especially the Noble Eightfold Path. That's why the cultivation of Noble Eightfold Path is within the daily life. You have to reflect, contemplate, go into the three turnings sort of on the Noble Truth. Then the second turning, wisdom, is very important. Constantly reflect, contemplate until very, very clear. Then keep on straightening your view, then silent. That will prepare you to receive awakening, set the base for enlightenment to arise. Okay, now we turn to page 6. We will do the invocation to the devas. I'll do it. In this universe, in the entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and hell. Which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chakavalesu Atragacantu Devata Saddhammang Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakamokadang Dhamma Savanankalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanankalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanankalo Ayang Badanta Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Na mo tas bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhas. Na mo tas bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhas. Iti piso bhagava arahang samma sambuddho vicacarana sampanno sugato lokavido anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati satta deva manusanang Buddho Bhagavati Svakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehi Paseko Opanaiko Pachatang Veditatbo Hiti Supatipanno bhagavato sakkasango Ujjupatipanno bhagavato sakkasango Nyayapatipanno bhagavato sakkasango Samichipatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasango Yadidang Chattari Purisa Yokani Atta Purisa Pugala Esa Bhagavato Sakkasango Ahuneyo Pahuneyo Dakkineyo Anjali Karaneyo Anuttarang Punyaketang Lokasati Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu. Okay, let us be respect Tripa Jam. Bedang pejeme. Damang pejeme. Sanghang pejeme. Okay. Relax yourself, maintain some form of attention. Then we will continue with our second session. Second session is meditation reporting, followed by Q&A. So make full use of this second session. Like I explained earlier on, we have now developed enough understanding of the essential teachings of the Buddha, the essential Dhamma. You have them all in the notes and recording. Now is putting it into practice or cultivation. So the cultivation part is more important. So now you report your meditation and you ask whatever question you want. Then I will slowly go into it. I will dwell deeper into it. Earlier on, we need to develop the understanding first. So now is after you have done your phase one of the Dhamma Pariyatti, you now move into Patipatti, which is phase two, putting them into practice or developing the cultivation. So developing the cultivation must have clear understanding of Pariyatti, the phase one of Dhamma, means the learning of the essential Dhamma or teaching as taught by the Buddha. So that phase, you can spend more time and stabilize it, will be very good. So we will now focus on the clear understanding so that your practice can be much easier. Okay, now we open it up. Whoever wants to report meditation or clarify anything, you can put up your hand. Anybody? Smile, everybody smile. Jesse's first to smile. You got any question? I'll report your meditation. You want to report your meditation? That would be good. Never mind. Use the mic. Oh no, the mic is not working. Okay. You say sometimes got color. So what you do when you see color? You don't know what to do. That's why it's very important. Color is what they call light. You see some form of color light images. They call it nimitta. You heard of this word? Nimitta. Nimitta, N-I-M-I-T-T-A. Nimitta. I write down. Today I especially clean up the whiteboard so that we can have more space. Nimitta. If it's plural, it's with the S, I think. Otherwise, it's just nimitta. So nimitta means light. Color lights. So this color light can arise during meditation, especially when you are calm and peaceful. When your mind settle down, then there is this type of what they call piti. Piti is a type of spiritual calmness, spiritual joy, or sometimes it's very intense. They call spiritual rapture. You feel good. Then within that peace, if you close your eye, you start to see this color light manifesting. Sometimes from your past cultivation. Then when they arise, a lot of people become very curious. Especially if you are new to meditation, you think it's like, wow, something very great. Something like make you excited because you think not many people can do it. But actually, this type of experience are very common for meditator or cultivator who are able to maintain their inner peace, inner calmness, then this nimitta light come. But not necessary to have that. If meditation, if it arises as a byproduct, then let it arise. So what you can do is, it will bring about calmness. It will assist you to become peaceful, because these are very beautiful lights. It can come in many different colors. My particular own one during the early day is always violet. You know what is violet? Violet, you know the color? Violet, like purple color. But very beautiful. Then it changes. It changes. Then sometimes it becomes effervescent. Then you can focus on it, you can concentrate on it, you can play with it. But these are all energy field. If you are new, you can try to focus on it and maintain it. But no matter what you do, it will not last. It will change. Then after that, it will disappear. But as you become more skillful, those who go into concentration, they use it as a what they call object of meditation. They call it like kasinas. You heard of this word, kasina? How many of you haven't heard of this word, kasina? Everybody heard before, so no need to explain. You heard of this word before? Not heard means put up your hand. Kasinas. Kasinas. So this one, there are 10 types. Most of them in light forms. They call it the light kasinas. Yeah. there are a few of these light kasina. Then there is also this other type of kasina, that is the four element, water element, heat element, wind element, and also earth element. They are also part of the kasinas. Then the Hindu meditation, there are 40 objects of meditation. That's why in the early day, a lot of people go into concentration, because these are objects of concentration. So kasina are part of the 40 objects, 10 of them. So when you develop this, your mind will get absorbed into it or concentrated into it, then energy will build up. Then you can go into jhanas and all those things, or absorption, very strong energy field. But try not to go into all this, because if you are not careful, if you don't understand what these are, it can dilute you. It can lead you into psychic field, energy field. Then the Mara will come after you. They will come and disturb you. Then depend on your past karmic thing. If you have been Mara before in previous life, disturb all the cultivator and meditator, and now got condition, you also get involved in all this, other Mara will come and disturb you and entangle you and create problems for you. That's why it can avoid energy field. Don't have anything to do with that. But it's okay to try it out, just to get a feel of it, to experience what is, because you need to have a calm mind to meditate. So after you are calm and peaceful, always remember the four support. The four support for awareness-based meditation. This is not energy field. This is mindfulness or awareness-based meditation. As I put here, four important support for awareness-based meditation. So what you must do is relax. Relax means into every mind state that arises, no matter what it is. Even the nimitta, all those things arise, you just relax into it. And my nature was lucky, because in the past I have developed all this understanding. That's why when I started meditation, I straight away know what to do when all these things arise. Then I just relax into it. Initially, of course, I play with it. Because my mind that time, as a science student, I can actually solve a mathematical problem or a scientific problem, or I can concentrate on a subject that I like physics, chemistry, or maths. I can actually develop good concentration on that thing. I won't feel sleepy on. I can really look at it on, and the mind don't run on. So that's why when I did the meditation, it was so easy. My mind can just fix on things. It will be there. Then after that, I realized the energy build up. Then funny thing is, I know how to relax. When I relax into it, then I start to see the impermanence, the transformation, the changes. Then this nimitta, I remember, the violet nimitta, it was so beautiful. Then as I relax into it, it starts to change very fast, effervescence. It showed it to me. Then it's like, you know what is effervescent? Chinese New Year, you remember, as the kid, they light this, like joystick like that one. After you light it, a lot of sparkling stars like that, keep on, very fast one. It's 1,000 to 10,000 times faster than that. That one already very fast though. But that thing changed so fast though. Then my mind was completely relaxed and silent. Then I saw that thing moving. Some of them call kalapas and all those things. But to me, I'm not interested in all those things. What I understand is, these are the characteristics of all phenomena. Ultimately, it's so fast changing, effervescent. It's just like you put under the microscope, electron microscope, you can see within the atom, the electrons are moving so fast, and the space between all this, you can see them all. And it's so fast, but your mindfulness, because when it's silent, it can be with it, and it's very clear. So that's why relaxation is very important. Then when I relax and silent, I maintain awareness. That's why awareness, maintain for as long as you can. Although I put here 24 hour, got two meaning. 24 hour awareness. And the other one is as long as you can. Maintain the sati or heedfulness. Then when you are aware, relax, don't try to know. See this word. Don't try to know. This is key. When you meditate in the form of meditation, don't try to know. Just silent, aware. I think Tammy wrote me a, you wrote me a question. After you do my share. Okay, very good. She learned from us during our class. She said, I used to say, relax and aware, just silent. Don't try to know. Don't think. Then she find it useful. But her problem was, she said, he recently heard from another teacher who tell her, no, you must think. Because according to the teacher, he tell her, noble eightfold path, got right thought. You must think. Thinking is right thought, is right attitude. Then I reply to her after I read to you, so that you can develop the understanding. You see, the key to formal meditation is to train your mind to be in sati and to stabilize it so that it is ever mindful. You need to train for it to be ever mindful. Otherwise, you cannot be in apamada. Because apamada is the most important mind quality. The Buddha said, apamada, which is heedfulness, is most important. Dhammapada verse 23. Heedfulness is the path to the deathless, whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedful never die, and the heedless are as if dead. So when you understand that, you have to train your mind to be heedful. Otherwise, you are as if dead. Spiritually, you got no chance. So to be heedful, according to Dhammapada verse 23, is to be constantly meditative and ever mindful. Then you hold on to this cultivation, the steadfast one. You will realize the supreme bond-free Nibbana. So heedfulness is actually ever mindful to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path. So you have to start by training your mind to be mindful, then stabilize it to be ever mindful. That's why all meditation starts there. If you don't have the spiritual faculty, you can't be mindful. The hindrance will take over. So your lack of peace is due to your mental hindrance, the five mental hindrance. So now, the spiritual faculty are so essential that it will completely help you to root out the hindrance, the mental hindrance. But this opposite five, when you develop them, it will counter the five mental hindrance. These mental hindrance, when they arise, you don't go and fight them, suppress or control them. No. They are hindrance and they arise because you lack the opposite five spiritual faculties. Spiritual faculties are mind state that can understand spiritual teaching as taught by the Buddha. That's why you must have the spiritual faculty. And the most essential one is sati, mindfulness. That's why after you develop sadha, the faith and confidence in the Buddha and his teaching, then you know the importance of this teaching and cultivation. So you will arise the virya, spiritual zeal, to move, to diligently, through your spiritual zeal, to cultivate the meditation as taught by the Buddha. So when you do that, sati will arise. That's why sadha virya will lead to sati. Sati is the mindfulness, the silent mind, the meditative mind, the awareness within before the knowing. So when you develop sati through your bowing, through your relaxation, through your silence, like we went through earlier on. The moment you are silent without thought, you are already in sati. You don't try to be in sati. You don't practice to be mindful. No such thing. The moment you are without thought, you are already in sati. You are already aware. So why must you practice awareness? Awareness cannot be practiced. Sati cannot be practiced. It can be trained, but it cannot be practiced. Train means you understand that the moment you are silent, you are already aware. But the trouble is, why are you not able to be silent? Why are you not peaceful? That is what the Buddha said. It is because of your mental hindrance. So you know that you are not able to become peaceful is because your mental hindrance hinders you from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner awareness, and inner calmness. So because of that, you have to work on the opposite five, which is a spiritual faculty to overcome the hindrance. The moment the hindrance is gone, sati take over. That's why you become peaceful, quiet, silent, and just aware. That is the understanding. So you can train your mind. We are cultivating the spiritual faculty to overcome the hindrance. Yeah. But you don't go and practice mindfulness or awareness or try to be aware. Go and do all those foolish things, nothing. Yeah? Or all those what they call verbalization. The more you verbalize, the more you note, the more active the thought is, the more difficult you become mindful. Then what they do is, they have to slow everything down. Then only they got less thinking, less thought. But the moment they labor and note again, thinking, intending to walk, again the thought come out. That's why finally they say, you must drop all this. So if finally you must drop all this, then why start? That is the question you must ask or inquire. Because they don't understand what sati is. That's why they go and do all those things. So now that you understand, the moment you are silent without thought, without any verbalization or mental chattering within, you are already in sati. So to develop sati is very simple. Silent, relax, and just let the mind do what it wants. Then finally, it will settle down. Then it will become peaceful, like what Tammy went through. Then the teacher tell her that she's scared again. She want to go back and do the thinking again. Because sound logical, is it? Noble Eightfold Path got right thought. Right thought is about thinking. Later, I will explain, so that you understand. So this part regarding your question, nimitta, color light, when you see in your meditation, when you are calm and peaceful, they are just manifestation, mind state. Understand? Sankara, mind state. So you can actually relax and silent and just observe it. Observe it. See what happens. Then you want to try to like play with it, means focus on it, concentrate on it, or relax into it. It's up to you. And then you find yourself how it actually finally evolve into. But the question you must ask is, what am I doing in the name of meditation? Am I here to play with nimitta? Or am I here to develop calmness, peacefulness, which most people want because they want to develop the calm mind, the peaceful mind. So it's okay if you want to have calmness, you just focus on it or concentrate, then relax into it, then make yourself peaceful. But the key to meditation is to understand what you are doing in the name of meditation. So what is it that we are supposed to realize or achieve when we meditate? Now we go through slowly. So that this understanding is deep and you know what to do every time you go for meditation or retreat. You will not become gullible. What is it that you are trying to do when you come here? In the name of meditation. Why did I ask you to do all those things? Do you understand? Or? Those who nod the head one, try to answer. Just now Suyan mentioned something. Let Suyan answer. Train what? If you still need to train, you train. That is a very good one. Means we already know. Just now I mentioned what? If the hindrance are there, mental hindrance, the five mental hindrances, if they are still there, then you have to train this heedless mind, thinking mind, mundane mind, where this one need to be trained. So these five mental hindrances, they are there. That's why you have to train. We are? Sorry. The first case is when the five mental hindrances are still there. Huh? Never mind. Both the magnet, because we need to gum back this thing. Later on, never mind. The magnet are here. It's okay. Yeah. So, first case, when five mental hindrances are still there. Okay, what must you do? When the five mental hindrances are still there, what must you do? This is the first case. You have to, like Suyan say, train the mundane or heedless mind. Yeah? Mundane mind. How do you train? What do you do? The first one is what? Your mind sweeping method. Why you do that? Why do you go through your mind sweeping method and combine metta? You do that is to decondition your heedless thinking. Understand? Because this guy think a lot. That's why you feel relaxed. You don't think anymore. Can follow? And you train your mind to be at the location you want it to be. You want it to be at the forehead, it's at the forehead. That's why this is training. Train the heedless or mundane mind to be at the position you want it to be, so that you got stability of awareness. So that you want your attention or your awareness to be at the heart, it will stay at the heart. You want it to be at the forehead, it will stay at the forehead. That's why you have to give the mind something to do. You go to your forehead, relax, silent, aware, and maintain attention at the forehead. Then what you do? Feel what? If there is any tension, tightness, or stress within, what do you do? Relax into it. This is the first support. And when you relax into it, what happens? The mind doesn't think. Understand? So the mental hindrance will slowly, slowly weaken, settle down, and like decondition. You remember the bell? It needs the momentum to maintain the continuous heedless thinking. But the moment you're silent, relax and just feel, don't think, then this heedless thinking loses its momentum. Understand not? Can follow? When it loses its momentum, it will not go and think so easily. Last time, because your habitual thinking, ceaseless, heedless thinking, is like habitual. That's why you become habitual tendency. It keep on going. That heedless thinking non-stop inside there. Like you cannot stop thinking. So when you do the mind sweeping method, So the first one is via mind sweeping method combined with metta. This one is short form for with. Combined with metta. So when you start to do this, you start to decondition your heedless thinking. Then you train the mind to be at the location you want it to be. Then it becomes more quiet, more peaceful. Then you sweep it down to your eye muscle, do the same. Then facial muscle, do the same. So as you feel relaxed, you don't think. So you do that for 10 to 15 minutes, the heedless thinking will be deconditioned. It will need a lot of momentum to start thinking again. Then you do it for half an hour, I tell you, you become very quiet, very still, and you don't want to think. But you must really feel it, feel, relax, silent, then move on. No verbalization. Initially, you have to verbalize, relax, relax, relax. Then later on, no need. The mind will know what to do because it already know what relax is. It don't need the word to be relaxed. So, mind sweeping method combined metta. Metta is to bring about inner well-being. Mind sweeping method is to bring about the deconditioning of the heedless thinking so that your mind become more quiet, more peaceful. So this will lead to inner peace. The inner peace combined with metta, which is the well-being, will lead to inner well-being. There's an inner peace followed by inner well-being. Then your mind becomes peaceful. It has the inner peace and the inner well-being and is conducive to meditate. Then you will recuperate. Your mind will become beautiful. Then after this mind-sweeping method and metta is over, you will become very quiet, very peaceful, and your mind is actually already in sati. Then mind already in sati. After you do that. Because you don't think anymore. The moment is without thought, it's already in sati. That's why it's quiet, peaceful. That's why after that you can see nimitta. Then you have a sense of serenity within, quietness, peacefulness. Then you can develop the metta and recall to mind the great loving kindness and great compassion of Lord Buddha or Kuan Yin Bodhisattva. You feel very peaceful, very calm. Then when you radiate this metta to all beings, including yourself, may there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy. Your mind is filled with peace, calmness and joy, love and compassion. That's how you develop beautiful mind state within the meditation. And this is very, very useful. Then after that, you need to stabilize it. Stabilize the mindfulness. Through what? That sati. How do you stabilize it? How do you stabilize it? After mind sweeping method, what you do? Because sati arise already. You have to stabilize it. How do you stabilize it? You have to anchor it to something, isn't it? To stabilize it. Anchor to what? Anapanasati is one of the skillful means. You can use any other technique, method, like rising, falling of the abdomen, no harm. Buddho, the chanting in Thailand, or dynamic meditation, the hand movement, or any other skillful means, even those who chant the Mahayana chanting, you can use them. Or you can contemplate the nine great virtues of the Buddha, Ittipeso Bhagava Arahang Sama Sambuddho, or contemplation on the Dhamma and the Sangha, the Triple Gem. Then contemplate on death, Marana Anusati, on food and all those things. So these are the various Anusati that you can develop. That's why they are called Buddha Anusati or Buddha Nusati. Then Dhamma Anusati or Dhamma Nusati or Sangha Nusati. Then Marana Anusati. So all these are the various type of contemplation that the Buddha taught. Then when you stabilize it, you train until finally your mind is in sati. Then what happened? Technically, you don't need the object of meditation. You don't need to anchor it anymore. But the mind is already in sati. That is the ultimate aim. Then after that, when your mind is already in sati, you don't need to hold on to the object of meditation, like swimming, where you know how to swim, you don't need the float, understand? You continue to hold on the float, you will never understand the real swimming. Because you are still holding on to the float, and that type of flotation that allow you to swim is not real. Not the actual swimming without float. So meditation is the same. As long as you hold on to the object of meditation, you are not in the real state of meditation because you are still anchoring it to something. That's why I say, finally, you relinquish the object of meditation. Then the mind is already in sati. We call it pasati because that is the tranquility state of mind, silent mind. That is already in sati. So pasati will arise. Then after that, you finish. Then the second case is what? Second case. Yes. Yeah. What is your question? No. When you stabilize your sati, you don't contemplate. Contemplate is when you are alone, silent. When you are in a meditative state, then you want to develop the contemplation. Then you can recite. Just like the nine great virtues of the Buddha. Iti pe so bhagava arahang samma sambuddho. Means as you recite, you understand. Iti pe so means such indeed is the blessed one, the worthy one, and the fully enlightened one. Then you recall to mind the great virtue of the Buddha, where he is the blessed one, the worthy one, and the fully enlightened one. That's why, iti peso bhagava, such indeed is the blessed one. Then, arahang, he is the arahant, worthy of respect. Sammasambuddho, the fully enlightened one. That's why such indeed is the blessed one, the worthy one, and the fully enlightened one. And then, he is the teacher of man and God, and all those things you recall to mind. That is contemplation. But if you want to develop the actual training, then you go into the real meditation. There is no word, silent. But all this Buddha Nusati is to develop the faith in the Buddha. Then Dhammanusati is to develop the faith in the Dhamma. Sanghanusati is to develop the faith and affinity with the Sangha. That's why you have to contemplate and reflect and develop the spiritual faculty so that it will arise. Sada leading to virya. Then as you recite and reflect and contemplate mindfully, you develop sati because you are not heedlessly thinking, you are not wondering all. The faith will bring forth the very composed and calm mind. Then when it is very calm, very composed, the sada will lead to virya. Virya will lead to sati. Then sati, as you stabilize through this training, every day you do this, you are no longer heedless. You are no longer heedlessly lost in thought. You are already heedful. Then you use it to cultivate noble eightfold path. That's why you become heedfulness. Heedfulness can arise. Then you are destined for enlightenment. The heedful never die. The heedful will realize the bond-free nibbana, the enlightenment. So all these are your focus. The purpose of meditation is, if it's case one, then you do this, you train. Then if you already skillful, no need to train, then you reach case two. Case two is when your five spiritual faculties are already established. And this one is very easy. When you have this, you can meditate very easily. Establish, yeah? So when your spiritual faculty is already established, the mental hindrance is gone, then you naturally peaceful, naturally aware. Your mind becomes silent on its own. Meditation becomes very easy. After that, you just sit. You already still, silent, no thought. Straight away, pop, you are go in the meditation already. And during that time, it's so easy to meditate. Isn't it? What do? The four support. Relax, aware, then maintain for as long as you can. Yeah? Just silent, no need to know. Then that silent mind will understand. Then as you stabilize it, later on, as you come out of the meditation, you are so mindful. Every movement, every action, you suddenly realize your body and mind has become one. Because when it's in the state of sati, everything you do, you have mindfulness. When you see something, that seeing is in sati. When you hear something, the hearing is in sati. When you can see and hear with sati, this movement is very gross, very easy to be in sati. That's why at that time, kaya nupasana is automatic, very fast, very easy. You don't have to slow down. You don't have to do like those people, go and not verbalize and do all those funny things. No need. The moment you hit the silent mind, the mind is already in sati, because the spiritual faculty is established, then meditation becomes very easy. You just relax, silent, aware. Then everything that is going on, the essential Dhamma, especially the dependent origination, the three evil roots, the five mental hindrance, the five spiritual faculty leading to the seven factor enlightenment, and the 12 link dependent, you will see them all inside, within your own form and mind. As a meditation become very different, very simple, very easy. Then as your form of meditation stabilizes, then as you come out of it, even in a retreat or what, you realize you are so mindful. You know, like that Singapore guy, that brother, after I teach him how to relax, last time he go into energy field, he cannot do it. Then later on, he saw people lying down. At first he thought, what is all this meditation, lying down and snoring on? Then later on, he tried. I told him, you must relax already. And you try lying down. Then he went and do it. He also snored. That's why he, after that, realized, wow, when he lie down, was so relaxed until he also snored. But when he snored, he's aware. That's why he was confident after that. Then when he come out, he was so surprised. Remember, he reported, he was so mindful, no? Never before, until he went down for lunch or dinner also. He was so mindful, no? And he was so amazed. And people who was holding on to energy field and cannot relax, he told me at first he cannot relax. I said he'll lie down. Because the moment he want to relax, more energy field. He cannot do it. So all this, you can witness how people get it when they have the faith and when they trust, then they really, really follow instruction and do. And it's very easy. Then after that, as you come back to your daily life, it will become a lot easier. Because when your mind is already in sati, when you come back into daily life, everything you do also will be in sati. But the danger of going back to daily life is because you have not stabilized it in your daily life. That's why the moment you go back to daily life, your thinking will start again, because you got a lot of things to do in life. You got your duty, your responsibility, so many things you have to take care of. So you will be going back to the old way, planning, thinking, worry, and all those things. And then this one set in, you become healers again. That's why lost in thought again. That's why I say the daily religious routine, the daily routine is very important. That's why I say meditation is 24-hour, the third support. 24-hour means what? Yeah? Means full-time job, understand or not? Doesn't mean that you have to retire to do meditation continuously, full-time job. No. Meditation can be done full-time, 24-hour. In the midst of life, even while you are working, even as a housewife, even as a career lady or man or person, no problem. Because it's about daily mindfulness. That's why I say you start off with the daily religious routine before you sleep, do your puja and meditation. When you wake up, do your puja and meditation. Then from the moment you wake up, maintain mindfulness, awareness, heedfulness. Yeah. Then today my wife passed me the Facebook, also got people teach 11 ways to become more mindful. That one I think must be from the quite low one. Joseph Goldstein and this, what is it, Jack Canfield or that group, that went and introduce this mindfulness meditation to the prisoner and all those things. Then from there, they evolve it out. And not too bad. All the 11 things is mostly I teach you how to do it, except they don't know how to elaborate. They always go back to Ananapanasati first. Yeah. Yeah. But they do say, when you sleep, aware. Then when you wake up, aware. Then when you eat, aware. Everything you do, try to maintain attentiveness and aware. So that is how you slowly train. And when I read it, I told my wife, not bad. That one you can. If you do it following their understanding, you can develop mindfulness too. But how to apply that mindfulness to develop the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path, they cannot teach. The Noble Eightfold Path factor, they can, but they can teach you how to be more mindful, to be more aware of your conscious thinking, of your conscious emotion, reaction. And through that, they learn. They develop the straightening of the view not to do all those things. Means they become aware of their emotion, their reaction. Then they are taught the essential Dhamma. They know that these are evil, root of all evil. Then slowly, slowly they relate to life. Then they know they have to avoid all evil, do good. But not so clearly linked for them. They only learn how to be more mindful. And they believe mindfulness help the criminal, help them to become less violent, less emotional. and develop more inward contemplation, allow them to look within, to understand their own minds working, how they become like that. So because last time due to heedlessness, they were not aware at all. They just do it because of the conditioning, because of the mental hindrance, the self-delusion, the ego and all those things, the fear, the insecurity, the phobia, and the stress, the pressure, all these are the various mind states that actually haunt them. And these are all part of the mental hindrance. That's why restlessness of mind has a lot of this fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, phobia and all those things. These are all part of the mental hindrance of restlessness of mind. So all this, the Westerners are starting to learn and understand the benefits of mindfulness, the benefits of maintaining awareness, less thinking, more awareness, more clarity, to be more attentive to life, to live and to experience the moment more and more, more and more. So all this can help you to improve your life, to become more mindful, more heedful, so that you can see your mental intention behind all your action, speech, and thought process. Then you can see them clearly. The mental intention, if the evil roots are there, then you will know how to arise a full right effort to deal with them, to abandon them. Then later, when you have the stability to prevent them from arising and all those things. Okay, so can follow. The purpose of meditation must be very clear. This is why they go and develop the method and technique. Because when they have mental hindrance, they don't know. They don't know. That's why they introduce what? Method and technique. That's why they straight away go into trying to stabilize this mind. Because the mind think a lot. Have the hindrance, they don't know. They don't know that you don't have to fight them, control them, or suppress them. You only have to train them, decondition them, or cultivate the opposite five spiritual faculty. But they were not told. So our daily routine, religious routine, and puja, is to help us develop all this. Give me a minute. My sister called me. Okay, sorry about that interruption. That was my sister reminding me of my HUKM follow-up every 8 months. So I have this follow-up, which is this 15, I think is Wednesday. Yeah. So this weekend I'll be going back to Alastair. So Sunday class cancel, Wu Ping Jing Sir. The other class are not affected. Just now I was talking about method and technique. The reason why they have to use this is because they cannot do anything to the heedless thinking mind. That's why they have to anchor it, fix it to a meditation object. But they don't understand this principle. They don't understand why they have to do it. Because all these are not explained. The essential Dhamma. So they just gullibly follow. Everybody start like that. Meditate, okay. Do Anapanasati or do rising falling. Then sometimes they become gullible. They say, you do rising falling is Vipassana. You do Anapanasati is Samatha. So now you see the strange thing happening. The technique that the Buddha used, Anapanasati, which is mindfulness of the in and out breath, or the meditation object that the Buddha used, become Samatha. That technique or meditation object that the Buddha never used becomes Vipassana. And people can believe all this type of thing because they do without understanding. So you have to be careful. You have to understand what you are doing in the name of meditation. So when these are explained clearly, you will become different. You will no longer become gullible. You will not be like before, arguing about method and technique no more. Because you understand why method and technique are required. Then, no more issue. Otherwise, you keep on having the doubt. They say, this one not Vipassana. That's why a lot of people dare not do Anapanasati. Then they go and do that one. Then after they do that one, they realize after so long, not much result. then now they don't know which one to do. It's actually not which one to do, because like I always explain, method and technique never define the meditation. They are just skillful means to train your mind, to anchor your mind, to stabilize your mind, so that you can develop the meditation after that, nothing else. But the danger of this technique and method is you don't understand. It will lead you to concentration. Now you understand. Energy field. That's how a lot of people get trapped. That's how they went into psychic field, energy field, jhana and other things. Not to say you cannot do. It's up to you. During the Buddha's time, the Buddha also did jhana first. The disciple also a lot went into concentration and jhana, because during the era, the Hindu practice was very, very influential. So they started with that. That's why the two teachers that taught Sakyamuni earlier on was Alara and Udaka. They also expert in jhana. But the Buddha, after under them, training himself so seriously and so diligently, yet when he was able to develop all that they had taught him, or even go beyond, he still realized he is not enlightened. That's why he went on his own, he left them, and he strived on to develop their own understanding, until finally, after the monk rice offered by Sujata, then he saw the sign, then he determined, then that night, he connect back to his spiritual nature, then he awakened and become the Sammasambuddha. And then after that, he realized the Dhamma. Then he recalled all those understanding. That's how he proclaimed the Four Noble Truths again. And the world has this teaching. That's why we are still within the sasana. So is this clear? Hopefully, after today's explanation, it will become a lot more clearer. Then you go back and read all those blue book or whatever last time on the essential Dhamma, everything. It will become very clear now. Then you understand what you do. Then every time you meditate, you are confident. You know what is going on. And you know what you are developing. So it's either case one or case two. Ask yourself which scenario you are in. You are in scenario two, then very easy. No need to do anything. Brother Song, until now still meditating. Inside there, didn't even move at all. You can take a video. You didn't know. You don't know he's meditating here. Come. See him meditating. What's this? He's meditating. After you can ask him, he can hear what you say. He is fully aware. You think he's asleep, huh? That's why you don't know. This type of meditation, now no more snoring. Even snoring, you think he's snoring. He's fully aware. Big difference. Sleep, you become unconscious. Understand? You go into the dreamland. What is dreamland? There's an English show. What? In what? There's one lady, what? Alice in Wonderland. You went into that state. Alice in Wonderland. This one is fully aware. When the subconscious release, when the mind, the mundane mind want to dream, fully aware inside there. That's why this type of meditation is different. You'll never understand until you do it. So meditation, when you develop the correct understanding, is very beautiful. Okay, before I forget, now I share with you the email that Tammy wrote to me. How come not coming out? Fail to update. Yeah, Sunday no class. You got Wi-Fi here, right? What is your password? No, this Sunday on. Next Sunday. This Sunday is on. This Sunday is 12. Next weekend, I'm back, Alastair. 17 to 19. 19 only I come back. Oh, Sang 4750. What is the password? 14-1. 13. Oh, this type of password, very good, very easy to remember. How come my 4G didn't work here? Anybody got their email? Oh, you have a? How come mine cannot load? Mine cannot load, I don't know why. Came in already. Okay. WhatsApp or? Just connected. I got ready. Thanks. Mifong, thanks. I got ready. This one is 10 million. Send. Okay, let me. Funny, my didn't update. The send one cannot update. Yeah, let me. Okay, good. So this is the one that the email that Tammy sent me today, He said Sukiho to Brother Teo. The title is Thinking. I got a question, maybe due to my lack of knowledge or understanding on the Noble Eightfold Path, seeking your advice to straighten my view. You always said it many times, don't think, just be aware. Are you all aware of that? She was attentive. I always say, don't think, just be aware. This phrase actually did help me in my sitting a lot. Last time when I think and try to justify my experience giving meaning to it, it was really stressful. But actually, if the experience arises, and I just let it pass, it is so relaxing, very, very relaxing indeed. However, lately, he said, a teacher point out to me that thing is right attitude. Otherwise, how in the Noble Eightfold Path you have right thinking? What he said is also true. Hence, can I clarify with you that when you say don't think, just be aware, is an instruction during sitting or mindfulness, or we think when we are contemplating or in the daily mundane life? If then, how daily mindfulness able to proceed? If then, how daily mindfulness able to proceed with thinking? Kindly advise. Then unrelated experience, just a report. At the above question, I said, I let it pass. From my understanding, the truth is, I don't have the ability to let it pass, but I strongly felt I let it. Yesterday, when I am sitting, and past event thought arise, I wanted to habitually justify my experience. Suddenly, I realized that habit. Then I stopped, and I felt I choose to let go or to justify. Then I decided to let go. It all happened very fast. But just notice, the I is so strong. See? The ego, the sakayadity. At least she realized that. He said, thank you in advance, Matthew. May you have a beautiful night. Best regard, huh? Tammy. Very good question. Then I replied to her. I said, dear Tammy, I rejoice with your below question. It is good that you ask, so that it can help you clear up your wrong view to develop the proper understanding to meditate. Yes, my constant advice to you not to think during formal meditation is very important. See, the word is formal meditation. You don't think. That is, don't think, just be aware. Then I ask her, what is thinking? Thinking is, what is thinking? Mental activity, isn't it? So thinking is mental activity of mind creating sankhara. So how can you be mindful when you create thought? That's why people don't understand. So how can you be mindful and be with the moment to be aware when you are thinking, arising sankhara? The moment you think, you are already lost in thought. So just remain silent and relax into every mind state that arises during formal meditation. Then the silent mind will stabilize and understand. Regarding your second question concerning thinking, you say you were told that thinking is right attitude. How can it be? Whether it's right or wrong attitude depend on what? Depend on what? The thinker, isn't it? And there is no thinker, isn't it? That's why I say depend on the being or the five aggregate of form and mind that is arising the thought. If the being is deluded with self-delusion, then all thought that it arises is wrong thought, born of self-delusion. Thought is only required when we live life. Now you understand? And thought is condition arising. That is, it arises due to respond to memories. Hence, it is not you. Only after you have insight into phenomena or contemplated deeply to straighten your view, then only you are capable of the appropriate right thought. That is the reason why Noble Eightfold Path starts with right view or right understanding with regards to the law of karma, karma niyama, citta niyama, and dhamma niyama. Then only the four right effort to deal with the wrong thought, action, and speech that has a reason can be applied. But to do that, you need mindfulness. The silent mind or awareness before the knowing to be aware of your mental intention behind all your thought process. When you have straightened your views, there will be less avijja or ignorance, hence less thinking or sankhara. You know why, isn't it? Dependent origination, the first two links. Paticca samuppada. The first link is avijja, paccaya sankhara, dependent or ignorant. Activity of mind arise, thinking arise. So when you straighten your view, you got less delusion, less ignorant, you think less. That's why you become more mindful, more heedful. You cannot reduce the thinking through suppressing it or controlling it, understand or not? As long as you have self-delusion and avijja or ignorance, you will think. As long as you don't have right view, you will think, I tell you. Because one thing to know, one thing to experience, curiosity, doubt, you will think. And thinking is habitual. Because when you don't understand, you will go and think. You believe thinking can make you understand. Science, yes. Maths, yes. Technical thing, yes. But not psychological thing. Psychological thing, the more you think, the more entangled you become. Hence, Satipatthana, or four foundation of mindfulness, is all about mindfulness only and no more thinking or thought. This is why, sorry, the word should be why. The third advice of the Buddha is purify your mind via mindfulness to insight into phenomena. Hence, no more thought or thinking. So now you understand. Eh? You can only arise right thought after you have developed the right view. So initially, you go and think it's very dangerous. To me, suicidal. You know why? When you don't have the right view, you go and think what happened. All your thoughts are selfish, deluded. Sakaya ditti. That's why the three words are there. Pamasari, thank you. So you only do the thinking when you need to live life. Because to live life, you got no choice. You have to arise your thought. So before you can have the right view, what you do? You have to purify your thought. That's why the Noble Eightfold Path got three parts. Sila, Samadhi, and Panya. You remember? Sila, Samadhi, and Panya. So, Sila is precepts. Samadhi is mindfulness and Samadhi. So, precept got two parts. Abstain from all evil means avoid all evil. Then cultivate virtue, do good. That is sila. Then samadhi is the meditative part. That's why samadhi is samasati, leading to samadhi. No more thinking. But the first six, like I explained here, the wise of the Buddha got three parts. Avoid all evil, do good is under sila. Precepts, sila. Then sila combined with virtue. That's why the six of the first six power factor, they are all to do with avoiding evil and do good. And this one is thought based. That's why the Buddha teach right thought. The four right effort is to deal with right thought and wrong thought. The first right effort is to abandon the wrong thought that has a reason, or wrong speech and wrong action that has a reason. So this one is at the thought level, you use effort. But when it comes to purification of mind, meditation, which is samadhi, leading to wisdom, panya, this one is a 7 and 8 power factor, samasati and samasamadhi. So this one, no more thinking. Now you understand why in the meditation, you just silent, relax, and aware, don't think. If you think, you get trapped in thought. That's why the real insight, awakening, is akaliko. Because Dhamma that can arise or awaken to is akaliko. This Dhamma is beyond thought, beyond time. If you use the field of thought, if you use thought, you cannot realize it. That's why when it comes to purification of mind, meditation is all about sati, mindfulness, no more thinking. So, if you want to live life, you need to use thought. That's why Noble Eightfold Path, when you cultivate the first six, is for you to live life, to develop the wisdom and the understanding of life. That's why after your meditation, when you have awakened, when you have insight into the three universal characteristics of impermanence, suffering, state, and non-self, then you are no longer deluded. Ignorance also can be rooted out. Then what happens is, with this wisdom connected to the form and mind, you will know how to live life. That's why only that time the Noble Eightfold Path falls into place. Right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action. Before that, you cannot. That's why before that, they have to use the right effort to abandon the wrong thought, to keep on fighting the thought, then prevent it from arising. When you are more mindful, when you understand the evil root more clearly, then you have to cultivate, through right effort, all the virtue, the right thought, right speech, right action that are still not in you, so that you can become true enlightened being who have noble qualities. That's why you have noble understanding of life. You have right view with regards to the law that governs life and existence, the three spiritual law and the two scientific law. Then you will also have the ability through your right view to arise the right thought. That's why your thoughts are very, very virtuous, impeccable. No more with the evil root. No more with the wrong view. Then you will be able to, through your right thought, arise the right speech and right action. You will speak appropriately, gently, pleasantly, beautifully. That brings about harmony, love, understanding. No more those negativity of action, speech and thought that can bring about downfall, that can bring about suffering, that can bring about misunderstanding, argument, war, division, all this, no more cease to be. That's why the whole of Noble Eightfold Path have to accumulate into meditative wisdom. When wisdom arises, then only the Noble Eightfold Path can fall into place. Otherwise, initially, it's like wasting time, because before the wisdom comes, the understanding comes, you can never arise the right thought. All of your thoughts are with the self-delusion behind. Selfishness, emotional negativity, fear, worry, anxiety. That's why you cannot arise right thought at that time. That time thought is right according to you, not right according to wisdom. Understand? Yeah? Because you always justify. I already done my best, no? I spoke to him so nicely, or yet he get angry with me. You will have a lot of this type of situation. Then you say, my children, I already sacrificed so much, provided for them so much, I love them so much, I did so much for them, yet they do all this to me. Because you don't understand what you do. You do all those things, you think you sacrifice, you think you do, but it's for you, understand, not for them. Because good according to you, and you impose it on them. That's why they retaliate. So all this, not until you really have the wisdom to feel for them, to actually be responsible towards them, you will never arise the right thought, right speech, right action, and you will never do the right thing. That's why human beings make a lot of mistakes, lead to a lot of misunderstanding, conflict, suffering, misery. And this is very common in human relationship. Not only towards our loved one, towards our family members too. Brother, sister, good friend, colleagues, or even kayanamitas. Sometimes because of misunderstanding, selfishness, your mind reacted. But if you are heedful, you are mindful, you are sincere, all this will be less. That's why you will find among kayanamita, you can be at ease with each other, because each and everyone keep precepts, have some form of Dhamma understanding, understand what constitutes evil, and they are determined to avoid them. Then cultivate the wholesomeness. As you develop all this, you become different. It will improve your life, it will help you to transform, to become a better human being. Then personality-wise, character-wise, yeah, you will become beautiful, you will become different. you become so different from what you used to be. Then you can understand many things. Then you will not stir and react to many things like before. you become like very different now. Then you can have a lot more happiness, a lot more joy. When you encounter life, you can appreciate life. You can develop the understanding of life. Then you know how to live. That's why you will have joy, happiness. And most of the time you are at peace, no longer like before. Every small thing also irritate you, make you unhappy, miserable. These are signs of delusion. Depressed people have a lot of this reaction. Unhappy people got a lot of this reaction. But those who cultivate the Buddha Dhamma and have developed a clear understanding, they are very different. They are so beautiful. They are indeed a blessing to all. Whoever have relationship with them, who understand, and you will feel like they are different. You are like very blessed. So this is what Dhamma can bring about great transformation in living beings, and it can help you improve your life tremendously and bring about the good life. It can help you reverse all of your earlier mistake or negativity or karmic friction. Then as you start to follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all your by keeping the precept, then developing the understanding of the Buddha Dhamma to do good, then finally to meditate and purify your mind, then you become very different. Then your whole karmic nature rise again. It will counter all the earlier one. Then you will know how to move. You will know how to develop the wholesomeness. Then as you do this, life after life, your nature become beautiful, your karmic nature become beautiful. Then when you make more and more of this wholesome aspiration, every life you come, you improve your karmic nature and your spiritual nature. Then finally, you are able to transcend all this. Then you hold the understanding of the Dhamma. Then you become the embodiment of the living Dhamma. And then life become beautiful. Life will take a turn. Then from there on, every life you come, whether you choose to come or you have to come, you become beautiful. So this is what you need to understand. Okay? Almost 10:26 already. You can rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, any more question? Well, I take a drink. Like I say, if you are shy, you can write your question down next time. Don't have to write your name. Just put the question on the tray. Then I will read them. Any more questions? No more? Okay, then maybe we end. Okay, we will do the sharing of merits and transform merits. Okay. See, when I say we do the transform merit, he come out of the meditation. You think he's sleep. After you can ask him what he heard. Okay, sharing of merits with the devas. Akasata cha bumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa chirang rakantu loka sasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power, share these merits and may they long protect the dispensation. Itta vata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabbasampati siddhiya. May all beings share these merits which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice and may contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Transform merits to departed one. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Let this marriage accrue to our departed relatives and all those who can receive them. And may they all too be well and happy always. Okay, we will invoke the blessing for the nation. Devo asatkalena sasa sampati hetu cha fito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko. May the rainfall in due season. May there be a rich and good harvest throughout. May the world be peaceful and prosperous always. May the government of the day, the king and the ruler, be righteous. then you make your aspiration. Ibbina punyang kamina mami bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya. By the grace of this marriage that we have thus acquired, may we never follow the foolish and the heedless, but only the wise and the enlightened one, until Nibbana is realized. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones.
Ha ha ha.